Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 10th of August. And I have returned from vacation. North Country, Minnesota, North Country, Hayward. And I got to tell you, this was hard for somebody who's a news junkie. No TV, no radio, no cell phones, and for the most part, no newspapers. So excuse me if my knowledge of all the events of the last 14 days is a little bit incomplete, but we don't have to worry about that because we have Ed Garvey on the first hour of the show and he knows what's going on. Thanks to John Munson, Veronica Rickert for filling in for me the last 2 weeks. We had a chance to have lunch with John in Superior on Saturday, which was great. And here we go. I would imagine that a lot of what we're going to talk about concerns healthcare this hour, but there are many other issues that Ed has written about on his wonderful blog, fightingbob.com. Ed Garvey is our guest, frequently on with Joy Cardine on Fridays, and today he's on with us for all things political. Senior partner in the law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, publisher of fightingbob.com. He does a daily blog. He has done more than 2,000 blog entries since the year 2003, and he is with us this hour to talk about the news. And we'll be welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, you can do that. And that address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, Kathleen. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Have you ever lived 2 weeks without TV, radio, and almost no newspapers? I thought I was going nuts. Have you?
Yeah, it's not easy. We were in Costa Rica this year, and we just kind of went through the wetlands and the jungles and did not have any way of communicating. So it was quite nice after a couple of days.
It is nice. I think everybody ought to do this. You hear the loons, you look at the sky, the stars and the clouds.
Yeah, there are stars that are still up there. I mean, it's quite amazing.
It is quite amazing.
I thought they'd gone away.
Well, I'm counting on you. I know you've kept in touch with what's going on the last 2 weeks, and we have to start with healthcare.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on with these town hall meetings? Why is this an issue that people are going berserk about?
Well, you know, I've campaigned in the state, around the state two or three times, and I've been involved in presidential campaigns and other campaigns. These things are rarely sort of spontaneous. And when you think that the healthcare industry is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to influence Congress, you have to believe that most of this hollering and shouting and trying to disrupt these meetings is bought and paid for. You just don't get people in a state like Wisconsin who are that impolite to a speaker. I don't care whether you agree with them or not.
Right.
And so I'm just very suspicious about any of these so-called grassroots organizations. We call them AstroTurf organizations because they're not really grassroots. But the interesting thing is it's kind of leading up to Fighting Bob Fest on September 12th because we've got Bernie Sanders, who I think is the number one spokesperson in Congress on single payer, and Tom Harkin and Gwen Moore, Bernie's, well, I mentioned Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have the fellow who exposed the insurance industry for the kinds of deception that they're practicing, Wendell Potter.
Oh, right.
So he's going to be there as well. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think we're going to be sort of the epicenter of the debate at that point.
Yeah, I think you probably are. I always read Frank Rich on Sunday. Yesterday he was talking about a bill that will probably pass. There will be some kind of health care reform. His question is what matters is what is in that bill. And
well, it matters a lot.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you just have to wonder what's going to happen here. I think the fundamental problem is that the Obama administration doesn't have a plan that it's really pushing. And it's hard to push an amorphous public option against insurance for all that you know, some of the insurance companies are fighting against and some of them are pushing in favor of. It's hard for people to get in line and be in support of something.
Mm-hmm. Amorphous, you call it. What's your understanding of what it is and why do you think it is so cloudy, our understanding of it, because we don't know what it is.
Well, we don't know, and part of the problem is the deal that was leaked to the New York Times between Rahm Emanuel and the pharmaceuticals, where the administration was agreeing not to import cheaper drugs from Canada, and also agreeing that they would not negotiate with the drug companies for the pharmaceuticals that they would be ordering. I mean, that's shades of George Bush. And so when something like that comes out, and then they say, well, get behind the president for his plan, it's kind of hard to get people excited.
Right. Do you think that the key is to have, I know you're a single-payer guy, some kind of public plan? Otherwise, it's fairly meaningless?
Oh, I think it's totally meaningless if you don't have a public plan. I mean, if you don't have, and of course, here's the problem. It looks as if they're headed, the administration is headed toward insurance for everyone, which, you know, is better than nothing,
right?
But not much, because the problem is that the even if you have a public option at that point, who's going to take those people with pre-existing conditions? It won't be the private insurers. They'll be shoved over to the government side, and therefore they will say, well, it's too costly in the future. You know, sometimes I think that George McGovern had it right 10 years ago when he said, let's just have Medicare start for at age 0 to 4, and then after a couple of years make it 5 to 9, and then from 10 to 14 and so on, to gradually ease into national health care, which we should have, because it is the question of health care, not insurance.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember we've been covering this issue for such a long time, and it seems to me as though the polls showed very clearly, not very long ago, that a huge majority of the American public do want some kind of public plan, that a huge majority are concerned about health care. Businesses are. People who don't have insurance. We've all fallen through the cracks at times. So would you say that public support for this is eroding, Ed, or is it still really there?
Oh, I think it's there completely. You know, how could you not be in favor of a system that works all over the world except here? I mean, if you think about it, Germany's had national health care since, I think, 1895. All the Scandinavian countries, the Dutch and others, the Canadians, it works. It's cheaper. It's better. Yeah, and there are no arguments really against it that hold water. So I think that people still favor it, but they're being confused a bit by the enormous expenditure of funds to try to bring back Harry and Louise and to bring back all the horror stories. You know, the one I loved was that this is going to mean euthanasia.
Right.
You know, we're going to line up and start killing older people. I don't think I'll be at the head of the line, but you never know.
Older people and people with Down syndrome, right, as Sarah Palin said. What was she talking about?
I have no idea. I don't think she did either.
Yeah. The other problem, from my understanding, is that the insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, are giving so much money to Republicans, maybe more, a little bit more than Democrats, but the Democrats are taking this money, too. You can't do that and pass meaningful health care reform if your future is dependent on their money.
Yeah. I think the shock and disgrace is not that the health care industry is pouring money into the Republican coffers. The shock is that it's pouring money into Steny Hoyer's coffers and
right.
Nancy Pelosi's and Max Baucus. I mean, the Democrats ought to stand for something, and I think they're the party of working people, or should be. They ought to be the ones who are saying, stop this bribery. Brooks Jackson called it honest graft, and I think that's probably a pretty good term for it. I mean, they're trying to buy the Congress with the multi-millions that they have at their disposal, and they have more lobbyists than you could even imagine. So, you know, whatever is going on in Washington right now, the people's business is not being taken care of.
So what's going on with Obama on this front? Here was a guy who campaigned for change. He had a mandate for change. The American people are waiting for change. It seems to me as though if he came forward with a plan, pushed the heck out of it, he still is respected enough and people are willing enough to try something new. Why isn't he going that direction?
Well, it's a great question. I recalled Willie Nelson saying a song once that dreams don't make noise when they die. And I think so many of us had so much confidence that Obama was going to bring change and real change to Washington that when he doesn't do it, it's shocking and disappointing. I've rarely seen a time where so many people are sort of discouraged about the battle, just at the time when they have to sort of get ready for a bigger fight. In fact, we're calling it that the fight has just begun at Fighting Bob Fest. But I think the Democratic Leadership Council, the big PACs, you know, people like Dick Gebhardt and Tom Daschle, former leaders in the Congress, are now big lobbyists. It's a tough atmosphere when we got all that money to spread around, and members of Congress need that kind of money in order to win election.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't he do it? Doesn't he have enough votes to come up with something substantial and say, sorry, everybody, we got to do this?
Yeah, I think John Stewart said they need 100 votes in the Senate. Because right now the Democrats say, well, we only have 60.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, I remember when it was in the 30s.
Yeah.
So now they only have 60, and they said this is a big significant factor because now we can stop any filibuster. It just doesn't make any sense. I think he's just not giving it the kind of leadership that he needs to give it. On the other hand, he's a brilliant politician and a brilliant mind.
Yes.
And perhaps he will come out slugging in the next month and really push something through that makes sense for most people.
He certainly can rise to the occasion, can't he, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Have you? I mean, maybe when John Kennedy was president and he would speak, you sort of everything stopped and you listened. But Obama has a special gift, and he's got the support of the Congress now. So, I mean, there's no excuse. I mean, the one thing that's pretty scary to many of my friends who belong to the Democratic Party is that if he fails, it's going to be a long time before anybody gets that excited again about politics.
Ed Garvey, our guest. Our phone lines are filled, so let's start taking calls, 800-486-8655. And we'll start our calls with Dan from Partyville. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to talk to you. Given that the Republicans got creamed in the last election, and with their asinine stand on health care reform, are they going to be voted into oblivion on the next election? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Dan.
Well, the number one issue in this country is that we have lost control of our elections. We no longer have publicly financed elections in any respect. And so, Dan makes the point that if people are just voting based on what's happening, they may have one result. But if you put $30, $40, or $50 million into a Senate race or $10 million into a House race, some are predicting a $40 million gubernatorial race in Wisconsin next year. It is the big money that's controlling the election results, and therefore we have to get campaign finance reform, and we may be going in the wrong direction because the U.S. Supreme Court may decide to overthrow all of McCain-Feingold in the next session.
Hmm. Thanks, Dan, for the call. Dave from Menominee, Michigan. Hi, Dave.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
You know, I was going to bring up this misinformation at these town halls, which is, I don't know why they call it misinformation. Why aren't they telling people it's propaganda? Why aren't
right.
they saying this is propaganda? There's things like if your medical bills, an annual medical bill of over $22,000 will mean you're not going to have coverage, or Sarah Palin with this death panel thing. I mean, are we stupid? Are we that dumb?
Well, I think you are.
Are we trying to get dumbed down so much? The Republicans really try to dumb us down, and they really talk to us like we're dumb. And the problem is there's really a lot of stupid people out there.
Well, I rarely defend the Republicans, but the fact is that it's even taken out of their hands. It's the industry with the money that sets the that plays the tune, and therefore even the parties themselves are sort of out of the fight. I mean, they have nothing to say about who runs for office under their banner. They have nothing to say about who remains in their caucus. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's ridiculous. When you know that most bankruptcies, there's a serious health problem involved in that bankruptcy behind the scenes, it seems that it's time for significant change, and I think people are going to demand it. The worst thing in some ways for the industry is to win this battle, because if there are 50 million people without health coverage today, the estimates are that number will grow exponentially over the next 4 years or so. And then they're really going to have a revolution on their hands.
Yeah. And now we're getting back to business as usual with Wall Street guys and gals, mostly guys, I would think, with these bonuses again. What in the world is going on that front, Ed?
Well, you got to support these people, when you think about it. They said they might lose these top performers if they don't give them $1 million bonus. And
right.
I'm thinking, my guess, what would happen if they actually had done well?
Right.
I mean, they create this crisis that put us right at the precipice to just collapse into a significant depression. And now we're hearing from the leaders of these organizations like Citigroup, we have to give these huge bonuses or we're going to lose our best people. My goodness gracious, something has gone terribly wrong here.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay, for the call. We'll take more in a moment. Ed Garvey is our guest this hour of the program for All Things Political, senior partner, law firm of Garvey, McNeil & Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com. And the Fighting Bob Fest is taking place on September 12th. And we'll focus, as Ed gave you an outline of the speakers, it should be a great day, and we'll focus on healthcare and other issues. All right, more phone calls in a moment, and you can send an email, I think, too. That's talk@WPR.org. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program this Monday, we'll speak with an author of a piece in Mental Floss, which is pretty interesting, Five Places to Live in the Future, and they include an island grown from seawater, a city powered by pond scum, and, yes, indeed, the moon. All right, let's go back to phone calls for Ed. John from Milwaukee is next. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, one of the things I think that President Obama needs to bring to the front, forefront is the fact that a public option is not necessarily bad. I mean, they're talking about public option as if it's the worst thing in the world. But there's plenty of public options that exist today. Public broadcasting is a good example of a public option that did not drive CBS or NBC or ABC or Fox out of business or innovation. Or if you look at Wisconsin Public Radio, that's a public option. And private radio stations still exist. Or if you look at public libraries, that's another public option. There are still people that are willing to write books. There are still people that are willing to sell them that coexist with public libraries. And I think that we need to educate people that public options exist today, and they're very successful public options that work in conjunction with the private market, and they don't destroy innovation, and they don't destroy the public market.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when you think about it, our highways and our streets, just about everything that we need to be a society that functions, the government plays a role. And if the government hadn't played a big role now, we would be in even worse shape. But it really funny when I forget which congressman it was, but said, how many of you think that the government should stay out of health care? And they all raised their hands. And then he said, how many of you are already getting Medicare?
Right.
About half of them raised their hands. So
right.
You have to wonder.
And people love it. There aren't
yeah,
a whole lot of complaints about it. Thanks, John. Interesting way of looking at things, as always. We go next to Tom from Green Bay. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. One of the questions that I haven't seen raised, the people against the public option have talked about the cost. You know, they're gonna have to tax our insurance and get $1 trillion over 10 years to put this new plan in. But my question is nobody's talked about what is the real cost that people are paying in for their insurance as a total across the United States.
Right.
You know, if everybody knew how much we were paying in and what we were getting in return, I think they'd get pretty upset about it.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you look at the percentage that of our gross national product that goes into the administration of health care, you begin to see how out of whack the system really is. So I couldn't agree more. And we ought to sell everybody on the idea of having publicly owned football teams just like the Packers.
That'd be something, huh?
Yeah, they're barred from the NFL now.
Huh. Anything else, Tom?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thanks. So is the fear ultimately of this public option or of a single player, I think we're a long way from that, Ed, that it would be so wildly successful that a lot of these companies would just go out of business?
Oh, yeah, I think there's no question that they would go out of business for the most part because they're overcharging. They're inefficient. They're not delivering the health care that they promise. It's, you know, the system is broken. I mean, I've been writing for years about the fact that the inner city hospitals are closing their emergency rooms because they want to keep people without health insurance outside. If they let them in, they have to treat them. So they just shut down the emergency rooms and go from there. Well, don't you wonder where those thousands and thousands of people go for health care? You know, what
sure.
do? We just say to these young people, I'm sorry your child can't be treated for that disease because you're not covered by insurance, so go home and take two aspirin every 4 hours and drink lots of liquids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts.
Right. Well, so is part of the problem that a lot of people don't wonder about those people?
Well, I think they do, and I think they're concerned about them, and I think they support the idea of a single-payer system. It's the constant bombardment through television, particularly, to say that there's these terrible consequences to single-payer health care that you have to think about. And that's where I think the president is going to have to step up and say, wait a second, let's take on these arguments here. I mean, now he says they're misstating the facts. The fact is that they're lying to the American people about what these risks really are. And I think the president has to lead that fight. But the Democrats in the House and the Senate aren't helping a whole lot either.
Thanks, Tom, for the call. We go next to Laverne from Monroe. Hello, Laverne.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello, Ed. Honored to talk to you.
Thank you. Nice to talk with you.
The Supreme Court says money is free speech. That's the problem, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah. The problem is that on the health care, as the economy, where's the money coming from? President Obama said he's going to tax anything above $250,000, and that's fair. But all the same time, these wealthy people are hiding the money offshore and in foreign countries and everything else. So these guys are going to keep the control of the money and keep the control of free speech. So the problem, you're right. You got to get getting the message out. You're doing a good job at fighting Bob Fest, but there should be more of it.
Well, we're actually thinking of moving them around the state, having three or four mini Bob Fests to try to stimulate more
involvement. Oh, you
are? Be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to get people together and who are anxious to not feel alone in this battle, but to realize that there are a lot of people, most people, in fact, who support their position. But, you know, the caller makes the point, and what's scary is that Bob La Follette and Justice Ryan back at the turn of the previous century said that unless we do something, the corporations are going to control our political process. Well, they were good predictors, and the fact is they now control it. So we support the Democracy Campaign and others who are saying you've got to have publicly financed campaigns, or these kinds of debates are always distorted by the money that flows in. I mean, I think people should be arrested for trying to bribe members of Congress to go along with their plan.
Thanks, Laverne. Nice to hear from you. Here's an email from Tom from Wausau. If Obama loses on health care, he is at risk of becoming another Jimmy Carter, kind, decent, but ineffective. He's failing to bring to point the biggest issues. Number one, companies can't compete worldwide because they are burdened with health care costs. Number two, health care costs too much and its increasing cost rates exceed the growth of income. And number three, people can't get insurance coverage due to pre-existing conditions and lose coverage when claims are made.
Yeah, and Bill Moyer's interview with Wendell Potter, Potter pointed out that the Cigna and the other health carriers said they were attacking Michael Moore's movie Sicko.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, don't mention his name or the movie because we don't want to build him up. So they did everything they could to throw fear into people's way or to try to convince members of Congress not to show this film. But they said, don't make a hero out of Michael Moore. Keep it quiet. And I think these are the kinds of battles that are finally sort of like the tobacco industry for you're telling us that, well, they didn't think there was any connection between cancer and heart disease and smoking. No, of course not. Their scientists said everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that wonderful scene where they all swore, put their hand up in the air and swore that tobacco was not addictive?
Right, right.
Wow, that's exactly where we are with the healthcare industry.
Yeah. Scott from Green Bay, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of quick points. The topic of health care in America is very similar to the topic of Congress. 30% of the people don't like Congress. 70% of the people like the congressmen. 30% of the people do not like the health care industry, but 60 to 70% of the people actually like the plan that they have, and that's part of the problem. When you look at a public option, I'm an employer, and I'm just going to give you an example. And in its own form, they're looking at an 8% payroll tax to provide health insurance. I've got plans, and you know what? I'm going to come out ahead not insuring my employees and letting the government take care of it because it's going to save me money. So the public option is not really a public option. It's a way to eliminate private insurance as the issue. We need to actually, I believe something needs to be done, but we need to be upfront and honest about it. When you look at Stanford University just came out with a great, great study on prostate cancer, breast cancer, cancer, colorectal cancer, some of the major things, and the mortality rate in Canada, Sweden, Great Britain is substantially higher than what it is here in the United States. And it just came out, I think, last week. So we need to understand that a single payer, it's not a panacea. People think this is the greatest thing in the world, but the countries that have it struggle with it also. And then my other point, my last point is regarding Barack Obama. I know you guys love him, and I can hear you guys love him, but he's very good at reading a teleprompter.
But, yeah, he is very good at it.
He's very good at reading a teleprompter. Yeah. He talked about closing.
See, now we agree on something.
It's still open. He's talked about single payer, but we're really not going there. I mean,
yeah. Okay. He's very good at that, and using the right words to give us the impression that he's taking on the fight against those who are corrupting our political process. I think it's less a question of how much we like Obama than it is how worried we are about where this country is headed when you have 50 million people without health care, without insurance. I mean, it's pretty scary. As an employer myself, I find it very troubling that it's becoming increasingly difficult to pay for health insurance for the employees. I always believed as sort of an article of faith from the days that my father owned a drugstore that the employer was supposed to provide health insurance for all the employees. Well, that seems to have been disrupted now because of the enormous costs that are going into it. So there's no control on the costs, and I think, you know, you would have to agree that whether it's the employer or the government, something has to be done to reduce these costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that number is just horrible. It's 50 million people, to say nothing of people who
are
not
getting some coverage.
That's
more than there are people in Canada.
Right. Yeah, it's staggering. Thank you, Scott, very much for your call. We go to Julia next. Hi, Julia.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have just a statement and then a question. A statement on the health care and a question on the big bonuses that are continually paid out. The first one on the health care, I think, you know, I listened to Kathleen, some of her shows on health care from different countries, and I think it's helpful. And if we could take the best, kind of the best points of everything and put them to form our new health care system, we would probably be in good shape because I think everything has a bad side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canada, you know, people keep bringing the Canada up, and I know there's parts of Canada that probably have, you know, excellent national health care, but then there's parts of Canada that have very bad or low, you know, serving parts of health care. We had a gal come from Canada. My son married her, but, you know, and we brought her down. But she, at 18, had ovarian cancer. And because the doctor they went to, you could make an appointment, but it was a long wait for an appointment just for a practitioner. When you got in there, you could talk about one thing because they could bill out for one thing. And if you needed to talk about two different issues, you'd have to make another appointment and come back for that issue. But when she got in for the ovarian cancer, she had to obviously go to a specialist, which was another wait for her because she could not get in immediately. It took a couple of months. And at that time, some of the cancer had spread. So when they did the operation, they did a total hysterectomy for her. But then they also, there was a ball problem, and they would have to resection it. Well, she had to wait another 4 months to get into another specialist to do that.
Yeah.
And she was a diabetic. She had several problems, but, you know, because of the long waits on some of her problems, you know,
well,
that turned out.
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the fact is that were she in this country the whole time, she might not have seen anybody. And doctors I know who are working for these HMOs and so on are now limited in time. They are timed for the amount of time they spend with a patient, and it's supposed to be very short because they realize they can make more money if they don't spend as much time. But I look at this, and I think, well, you're right that there may be some good things we can take from the Danish system or things from the European system generally, but we ought to be at least focused on the fact that the current system we have has fallen apart. I mean, when you have 50 million people who don't have any, are walking around without health insurance, you have a crisis that it begs for some kind of a response.
Mm-hmm. Can we spend just a few moments talking about how we pay for a public option and what the latest news is concerning a tax on the wealthy, a tax on benefits that people currently have? What's the plan, Ed?
Well, I don't like taxes on the wealthy because if you stir them up, you never know what they're going to do.
Mm.
No, the fact is that there was a plan in the House that was floated, and then one in the Senate. There was an idea that perhaps the Obama administration would agree to a tax for those who are making $250,000 a year or more. The House, I think, was like $500,000 or more. But at the moment, as I understand it, there's nothing on the table. I may be wrong about that. But, you know, politicians are spooked on the whole question of taxes.
Yeah.
Every time we have a race for governor or for the legislature, the first thing is take a pledge, no more taxes, no more increases, as if all of our problems have been resolved and we're just kind of in a holding action.
Mm.
I mean, the fact is our problems get greater with the number of people who don't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cost us more a year from now or 5 years from now for the treatment because they're not taking care of themselves or they're not given the tests that are required to avoid the kinds of problems that the caller was just talking about.
Mm-hmm. A lot has been said about Massachusetts. Should we look at them as some kind of national model or not?
Well, I don't know enough to comment on that, Kathleen. I you know, you hear different stories about it. I just haven't studied it. We've been so concerned about what's happening in the Congress, and watching, and the disappointment that I think most of us feel that people like Dick Gephardt have just joined the other side to be lobbyists. I mean, why can't we just have the kind of leadership that perhaps calls people together in this country and says, look, as the caller suggested, we have a number of models. Let's
get
Jimmy Carter, Dick Gephardt, Warren Redman, get a lot of different ideas and get people together and say, let's tell the lobbyists to get out of town and sit down and figure out the best way to develop a health care plan that will help 100% of our people avoid the crisis that we're looking at right now and provide humanitarian help.
Yeah. Well, what you said is quite incredible. We've known for years the number of people uninsured keeps going up.
Yeah.
That at this point, when everybody's on August recess and the president wanted a plan passed by now, to not know exactly, you know, we're going to tax people who are making how much income, you know, we don't have anything on the table, strikes me as incredible.
Yeah. Well, it is incredible. And, you know, when I saw a congressman not long ago at a funeral, and I said, well, what is your idea of the public option? Well, it's an option that's going to be available for the public. That's kind of the answer.
Right.
Wasn't exactly helpful. and I think it really is time to say to the president and to Rahm Emanuel and to those who are around the president, the time has come to stop being cute about this. Take on the lobbyists, take on the those who are saying that the rich can't afford a little extra tax, and do something to solve this problem, because otherwise you might not have a second chance.
Mm. Julia, thanks for your call. Charlie from Appleton, hi.
Hi. Just four comments. PBS, on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, played a tape from California about sex education in schools. And a woman there stood up and said, if we allow this to happen, we will be passing out condoms in school. And everybody laughed and poo-pooed her and just derailed her. Now, when people say, people who have read the 1,100 pages that I have, where it says every 5 years after you're 65, you're going to sit down with your doctor and decide what are the best options. That is thinly veiled euthanasia, and the same thing is happening that happened with the condoms. All the liberals are standing up and yelling, oh, you're wrong. The third thing is Congress is exempting themselves and is going to keep their own health plan. So why should
they? Do that, would they?
Congress is exempting themselves from this health plan and they're going to keep their own health plan.
Mm-hmm. And what's the fourth thing?
And that's all I have to say. And the fourth thing is, if Congress really wanted to do something, you tell the insurance companies they can have one group. You tell the insurance companies when somebody walks in, every state has an insurance commission. When somebody walks in, you ask them how old they are, how many dependents they are, and how much coverage they want, and everybody gets charged the same, and there's no pre-existing conditions.
Well,
we don't.
You know, there are, as the other caller said, there are some things that you said that make sense and some things that I don't think make sense, but the fact is you have to start with somewhere. I think where you start is that the federal government is going to have to pick up the tab and figure out how to pay for it in conversations with the states and others, because what's happening now is it's just not working. And I don't know about the movie. I didn't see that, or the DVD that he was talking about with Roe versus Wade.
No.
But, I guess I'll not jump into the abortion debate.
Yeah, well, why don't you jump into the euthanasia debate, because that certainly is being spread around by people.
Well, I represented a couple of doctors, I won't name where, of course, but who were told by the hospital that they were under suspicion because they were overly aggressive in dealing with senior citizens. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, well, you're not supposed to work to save someone over 70. I said, you must be kidding.
Huh.
But that's the kind of, and I'm not saying that that's widespread, but there is certainly a concern expressed constantly by the American Medical Association and others that most of our health care costs are in the last few months or the few years of life.
Right.
And as I get older, I'm beginning to think, you know, 70 doesn't sound that old.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So I don't want to be I don't want to see anybody in that line. But if the government is dealing with this issue, it should deal with it up front and with total transparency, and say this is what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. More phone calls in a moment. Ed Garvey is our guest, senior partner, law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates, publisher of FightingBob.com, and the Fighting Bob Fest is taking place on September 12 of this year, and will have a very keen focus on healthcare reform. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Did I give you the number? I'm too soon back from vacation. Back from the loons, I can't remember, so let me do it again. It will not hurt. 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, five places to live in the future. The UN estimates that by the year 2050, 10 billion people will be living on the Earth, and we may need some more room. So we'll talk about people who have ideas, architects mostly, about building communities on the sea and in the air, and how their visions are looking less like fantasy. 800-486-8655. Ed Garvey is our guest this hour, and let us go to Mike from Appleton. Hi. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not Mike from Appleton. Let's go to Mike from Appleton. Hi, Mike.
You found me.
I found you, yeah.
Okay. Just a couple of comments. It seems to me that what they have here is a marketing problem. And the trouble is that, you know, one of your previous callers talked about public highways, libraries, et cetera. Yeah, but that's impersonal. And the problem with healthcare, it's really personal. You know, hey, that could be me. That could be my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that analogy of you know, the public option with regards to libraries and highways really doesn't hold. Now, the problem, it seems to me, is it's a question of perception. How are people perceiving this? They're perceiving this that the Obama administration is trying to shove this down our throat. And so, whoa, you know, healthcare, that's really important. It's really personal. So, you know, what is it that you're doing? So their problem is marketing. And it would seem to me, from what I've heard, from what I've read, is that 80% of the population who has healthcare are happy with it. So, you know, people are saying, hey, I'm okay, you know, don't change it. So we have this group of people. The other part is that a large percentage of the health care cost is going to the end of life. In other words, that's where the big chunk of change goes. So why not come up with a plan that takes care of the end of life situation? In other words, make a government-run program for people who are, I don't know, 70 years and older. And they automatically fall into that where, you know, that's where the big expenses are. And leave everybody else alone. I think if they would learn how to approach this from a marketing perspective, They do a good job.
Well,
million people who are out there who don't have health insurance, one of the things that they have to do to come out, and again from a marketing perspective, is say illegal aliens are not included in this program, because that riles a lot of people. And
well,
then I think part of the 50 million are also probably younger people who feel, hey, you know, I'm healthy. I don't need health insurance. I don't want to pay the $200 a month. So,
well,
you know,
I think there are a lot of those 80 million people who are happy with their insurance until they have to use it. And then they find out what the limits are. And we have this consumer-driven idea now, for example, where employers have said to employees, listen, get these deductibles of $5,000 or so, and you get the very cheap insurance. And, of course, it is cheap because the consumer is paying for most of the costs. But you've got all kinds of problems to deal with here, and one of them is that the economy is in trouble. We're fighting two wars, one in Iraq and the other now, I think you'd have to say, is the responsibility of this president in Afghanistan. The Defense Department is spending money like drunken sailors. And then we're confronted with, listen, with all of this, we don't have any money left to take care of our health care needs. So I think there needs to be some honesty as well as marketing in this whole system.
Here's an email, Ed, from Rebecca from Middleton. Is there any realistic chance of legislation giving families choice of plans rather than mandating businesses to purchase health insurance? And what's the most important point we should be making to our senators this month?
Well, if I could answer the question, I'd be asking you for an honorarium to be on the program. Because nobody knows what's going on except Billy Townsend from Louisiana, who has the pharma group, and the lobbyists, the thousands of lobbyists who are out there raising money and throwing money into campaigns. So I think the most important message is, look, we want to have health care for everyone, not health insurance, but health care. And that means that we need single payer. And I don't give up on that at all. If they can't do it for everybody, then start, as McGovern said, with babies from age 0 to 4, and until they keep moving it up until they meet those at 65.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to Will from Madison. Hi, Will.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I spent, since the late 60s, half my time over in the country of Finland.
Uh-huh.
And now, the reason why the Finns have the greatest medical and dental care delivery, Canada doesn't have dental care delivery, of any country in the world, is because the Finns have no primary system in their politics. All people who run for office, if some political party gets a small percentage of the vote, doesn't have to be a large percentage of the vote, their campaigns are 100% paid for by the public through taxes. And I'm going to end with this. This is the fantastic thing about it. I have been treated over there. I have dual citizenship just like my children. You pay if you have a very serious medical problem, no waiting in lines, maybe 2-3 weeks at the most. You pay maybe $50 U.S. dollars worth, you know, to get in. No long waits, both medical and dental. It's fantastic. The prime example of what every nation in the world should strive for. But they have no primary system.
All right, Will, thanks very much. We should look at Finland. We're doing
well. There are lots
countries.
Of Finns in Wisconsin as well. You know that, and
right.
I like their attitude. I mean, it is true that the Finns and all of the other countries in Northern Europe do have complete coverage, and they almost can't believe what goes on in this country. And if you try to explain to someone in Canada or in Holland or in Finland what's going on in this country, they wouldn't believe you, because this is the promised land.
Yeah. Thanks, Will, for the call. Alan from West Milwaukee. Hello, Alan.
Hi there. Thanks, Ed, for your comments. A voice of sanity in pure chaos.
Thank you.
And I like your idea of taking Fighting Bob around the state. I think we feel alone in this fight against lobbyists and politicians who've caved into them and the interests of the healthcare for-profit business. How come no one is explaining this to the American public that it's a business? You have vein shops. You have, you know, heart stores. You know, it's a business.
Right.
They're making
right.
money off of us. Like, you know, it's fast food. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm with you 100% on this, but the average person doesn't get it. And
I think they do, you know. I think they do.
Coverage that I need. It took me 6 months to get an ankle-foot brace, which was prescribed by a doctor because of delays, denials, disputing with the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. This woman who says things are delayed in other countries is just wrong. It's delayed terribly in this country by the health insurance.
Say you don't want to get a government bureaucrat between you and your doctor, now what we have is a bean counter from in New York somewhere who says, yes, you can operate. No, you can't. Yes, you can give them the dental care. No, you can't. They don't care what goes on except that they're working for the bottom line, which is profit.
Yeah. Thanks, Helen, very much for the call. Kevin from Madison. Hi.
Hi, yeah. My wife and I are in a situation now. We both have pre-existing conditions. We're both diabetic. I'm not obese. I'm not heavily overweight. I'm in better physical condition than a lot of other people I know. But because I have this pre-existing condition, we can't get insurance. I literally had one company who tried, or I was trying to get insurance coverage. When I told them I was insulin-dependent diabetic, they hung up on me.
Oh.
I believe it. We have a daughter who has autism, and when we tried to get insurance, the insurance company said, they don't insure people with autism because they're not. They think they're too great at risk. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, mm-hmm. but in fact, your story is, I'm sure, typical of millions of others around the country that you just don't get the kind of help you need.
Yeah. Do you get insurance, or you don't get insurance? But do you have a job that gives insurance?
I have a part time job. I'm a handyman now.
I see.
And I've been in construction for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Up until September of last year, mm-hmm. I lost my job. I got another job, and then as soon as my insurance carrier from my first job transferred my information to my second job, I mysteriously lost that job.
Mm.
My wife and I have come to the conclusion, she works as a cashier, I work as a part-time handyman. We can do that in Canada. We literally have come to the conclusion, we're moving to Canada. If the government can provide us with insurance, I can do this in Canada and make a living if I have
mm-hmm.
insurance.
Well, it is just, you know, Kevin, I can't. This gives you some idea, I'm sure, of why the discussion at Fighting Bob Fest is going to be about health care. You can't talk about anything else. I mean, whether it's Afghanistan or Blackwater or, you know, the public schools or vouchers or public schools being taken over by the city or whatever. Because people are so concerned about what's going to happen here with this debate. So I think people just have to call their member of Congress. Gwen Moore will be speaking at Bob Fest, of course, and she's for single payer. Let them know how many people are supporting this plan.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to move to Canada.
No, although you were close, Kathleen, on your vacation, and it's
You're awfully right.
pretty up there.
It is beautiful, beautiful. Thanks, Kevin, for the call. Dan from Madison is next. Hi, Dan.
Howdy. I have a couple comments here. I'm driving from Seattle to Chicago, and I've noticed in my drive pretty much as soon as you leave Seattle on the radio channels, all you hear is from the Clear Channel stations, and it's Limbaugh and Hannity and Laura Ingraham on multiple channels, and they pretty much monopolize the radio, and there's very few other
reasonable
on the radio than pretty much from eastern Washington to Montana through South Dakota. And finally, once you hit Minnesota, and frankly, thank God for you guys here in Wisconsin, on my drive, I was so happy to hear the show because the message I've been hearing has just been so against the new possible health care option we may have, and they're really driving it home, and it scares me because it really just seems like, at least on the radio, there's a monopoly, and I think a lot of Americans aren't getting the message,
mm-hmm.
and they're not learning about this.
Right, and what scares me is that, you know, the Bush administration, I think, came close to killing public radio. I don't think it's safe by any margin, and what we need is the return of the fairness doctrine so that, you know, we could say to the Rush Limbaughs and the Charlie Sykes and others, listen, you can go on and rant and rave all you want to, but you have to give the other side an opportunity to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's in trouble when he gets past Seattle. Wait till he gets to Milwaukee.
He can listen to us in Milwaukee.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep it right here. Thank goodness it's right. Well, Ed, I'm sorry we have no honorarium, but know that you were requested to be on this show.
I'm going to give you $1 million to keep you as an essential employee.
I think you're right. Ain't that the truth? Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
We hope you'll be here again for All Things Political. Ed Garvey. Oh, Ed, give us the website for the Fighting Bob.
FightingBob.com is our newsletter, of course, our progressive newsletter, and FightingBobFest.org is the website for Fighting Bob Fest.
Okay. Ed Garvey. Thanks, Ed. Ed is a senior partner at the law firm of Garvey McNeil and Associates and publisher of FightingBob.com. For a progressive viewpoint, go to the website. It's a good one. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to Rachel Biblow for on-air production in our studios in Milwaukee. And thanks, everybody, for all of your calls. We have news coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return with another hour of Monday Conversation. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.